Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, that portion of the Word of God we have been studying together for some time now, and recall to mind that we are in the midst of parceling out the land at the hand of Joshua. We have noticed as Joshua parceled out the land to Judah, then to Joseph, there were interruptions. And those interruptions have provided some good spiritual lessons for us, particularly around the idea of rules for possessing our possessions. For we have examined these so-called interruptions in the parceling out of the land, and we have discovered, as various individuals spoke up and interrupted the ordinary process, they were given instruction as to how they might enter in to their full possessions. And we, I trust, are able to profit from that. Today, will you look with me at the 19th chapter of the book of Joshua, as I suggest to you that the last interruption we want to consider in this particular series of interruptions is related to the story that is before us. This particular interruption I have labeled, for want of a better way of expressing it, this particular rule for possessing our possessions, I have labeled waiting God's time. Notice, in Joshua chapter 19, verse 49, when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. Now, why do I term this particular paragraph waiting God's time? Because it deals with Joshua, and I do not know of a better way to express it. Will you look at verse 50? You read that the elders of the land gave Joshua his inheritance according to the word of God, according to the word of the Lord. Now, when was the word of the Lord given to Joshua? The same time that it was given to Caleb. You remember, while they were there in the wilderness, Caleb and Joshua were the only two people that came back with a good report. And God said to Caleb and Joshua, "Because you have done this, you will go into the land, and you will have an inheritance." Remember when Joshua had the tribe of Judah before him, and he was parceling out the land, Caleb said, "Wait a minute, before you give all that land away, I want my share. God told me I could have it," and he gave Caleb what he wanted. Now you see, Joshua would have had a right at the same time to ask for his inheritance. But what is right for some is not always right for others. Sometimes God would have you boldly claim your inheritance, like the daughters of Zelophehad, like Caleb. Sometimes, and there is no contradiction, it is just a matter of the different ways that God works, sometimes he would have you wait God's time. Now, if you think it was hard for the daughters of Zelophehad to claim their inheritance, I would like to remind you in the case, just in case you have not had any experience along this line, that such a thing as the daughters of Zelophehad did is not nearly as hard as waiting on God. It is much easier to work up enough courage to go to God and tell him you want something than it is to wait God's time. The hardest thing in the world is to wait on God. Now, how did Joshua do that very thing so well? Let me suggest to you that one way he was able to do it was to rest upon the word of God. He heard the promise when God gave it. When God gave it to Caleb, when God gave it to Joshua, he heard it and knew that God's word was as good as gold, as we might say today, that he did not need to worry about whether it was going to be. He knew that it would be. Remember the centurion who asked for help for his daughter who was ill, and he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "You do not need to come to my house. You do not need to move a foot from here. You just say the word, and the word will be sufficient." Christ said the word, "This day, right now, your daughter is well." Did you ever stop to think how that man must have felt as he trudged homeward a two-day journey? It took him 2 days to get home. Now remember, he is human, and remember, when he left his little girl, she was dying. He was not certain what condition she was in when he went to the Lord about it. He knew she needed help, and the Lord said, "From this moment, your little girl lives." It took him 2 days to get home, and all he had to rely on was the word, and that was all. Of course, when he got home, the little girl ran out to meet him, and he knew everything was all right. Well, he knew it before, really, because he learned to rest on the word. And that is where the beauty of faith comes. It is one thing to see God work the evidence. It is wonderful, but it's wonderful, too, to rest on His word when there is no evidence on which you can look. Now, if you do this, you're going to have to do something that Joshua did. You're going to have to learn to renounce self. Not only did he rest on the word, but he renounced self. You and I are going to have to learn that. Joshua did. Notice all the time that it took to parcel out the land. We've only looked at the parceling out of the land to the tribe of Judah and to the tribe of Joseph. There were 10 other tribes that had to get their land before Joshua got his. Don't you know that he had to be willing to take a back seat before all this could happen? He had to learn to renounce self. When the old self wanted to step up and say, "I want my city," he had to learn to say, "Wait a minute, I am waiting on God." There is another indication here to me that he renounced self completely, and that is what I find recorded in verse 50, where we read, "According to the word of the Lord they gave him," notice carefully now, "the city which he asked," and then you have in the text even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. Now, was this such a surprise? If you read what is recorded in chapter 2 of the book of Judges, you will find that this city was in a desert on the bleak side of the mountain that was worth absolutely nothing. And when Joshua asked for the city of Timnath-Serah, they said, "Has the man lost his mind? Why, he could have anything. Why did he ask for that city? Nobody would have it as a gift." But he asked for it. Why do you suppose he asked for it? Do you suppose it was because he did not know any better? That's what they thought. They thought the old man's getting senile. Dispersing the land has been too much for him. He does not know a good thing or a bad thing anymore. But do you know why he asked for that city? Because he was relying on the wisdom of God. I'm quite sure that before Joshua asked for what he asked, he said, "God, what shall I ask for?" Why, it would be inconsistent with the character of Joshua to think otherwise. I'm sure he said, "God, what shall I ask for?" And God said, "Ask for Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim." Now, I think, had I been in Joshua's place, and God had told me that, I would have said, "Now, God, let me ask my question again. I don't think you heard me. What should I ask for?" Because, you see, there is so much of self in me that I would not have been satisfied with Timnath-Serah, the way it looked. I would have wanted something better. And if God in His wisdom had been telling me what to ask for and told me to ask for Timnath-Serah, I am afraid would have been questioning the wisdom of God. That is one of the things you've got to learn. If you're going to wait on God, never question His wisdom. If He tells you something, you accept it, regardless of how the circumstances may appear. My, what a wise thing this turned out to be, because, do you know, it was discovered that the word Timnath-Serah, the name of the city, actually means a double portion. That's the reason that you read in the last part of verse 50. "He built," it says in the King James Version, "the city and dwelt therein." He built cities, one place, one city, But because God told him which choice to make, before it was over, he built cities. He did not look at things as though they were. He looked at things as they will be when God is through. You have heard of sun cities, have you not? I'm sure that the reputation is all that they ought to be. But they are not cities where the sun shines all the time. Do you remember when I told you about this particular city? It was in Mount Ephraim, but it was on the dark side of Mount Garza. It was a bleak, cold place where the sun never shone. But after Joshua occupied it, the name of the city was changed from Timnath-Serah to Timnath-Serus, which means a portion in the sun, or the city of the sun. You see what happens. What an ordinary man must live in, because he relies upon himself, will always be a city on the dark side of a mountain, never any more than that. A man who waits God's time, however, relies upon his word, renounces self, and requests wisdom, and then relies on that wisdom, can take a city on the bleak side of a mountain and turn it into a summer resort. This, my friend, is occupying your possessions. This is possessing your possessions. And I hope you will profit by what we've suggested to you, by learning to claim the promises of God, operate to your fullest capacity, and wait God's time, and everything that God has intended for you, you most certainly will have. If we profit from our study of the book of Joshua through these spiritual applications, then our time will be well spent.